presented by Anchor.fm. Sean, would you trust any other brand?
No, I've downloaded the app because me and you talked about doing this forever, and I know this app is one of the solid apps if you want to get your podcast together.
Absolutely. It distributes to all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, and Spotify. Actually, Anchor is a division of Spotify, so you'll see that the first time out, and it will, every time, you'll see new episodes, and that's how we do what we do here. You can record them, split them up. You don't have to record on the app, but you can download it, look at your analytics and all that good stuff on anchor.fm, the website, or in the App Store or Google Play.
I know if I need to listen to a podcast to join Spotify, it's good to know that Anchor's always got my back.
Absolutely. Now back to the show, or the beginning of the show, whichever it is. I'm Jay Jones.
Thanks again, Sean.
And we are...
We are...
The Pixelated Men.
Men.
Hi there.
How you doing?
How are you? You look nice. Except for you. Clean yourself up.
You got a good aura.
Match your aura with how you look. Come on. Work with us. Work with us. Come on. Anyway, Cody will join us or he won't join us. Who knows? Sean?
Yeah?
Sean, what are we talking about?
Oh, an very interesting video dropped on YouTube, and it was called 99 Problems with AEW Wrestling. And both of us being avid wrestling watchers, and both currently enjoying AEW, I figured we can live react to it, get your initial thoughts on it, my thoughts I wanted to say about it out. And if Cody joins us, we can go a little bit back into the nostalgia world.
Well, shit. All right, then we can definitely go ahead and do that.
All right.
Now, as you can see, for those of you watching live, I have it queued up here. For those of you listening on audio, you'll exclusively hear it on Patreon much earlier than you'll hear it on YouTube, on the podcast platform of your choice. We'll narrate a bit. I think this is more a voiceover thing, is it not?
It's got some pictures, but it's mainly just a voiceover thing. It's not very visual. It's just like, here's a picture with the problem, and he talks about it a little bit.
Number one.
I can't see your stream, by the way, Jay.
What do you mean? Oh, that's right. I'm not sharing it in Discord.
Yeah. It's like, am I supposed to watch it in a 30-second delay? You so silly, Jay. You so silly. Huzzah. All right. Jay Jones Live, number one.
Number one.
Signing the Edge or Adam Copeland.
All right, let's get into these because there's 99 of them, and
it's only 13 minutes, but yeah, I imagine we'll be talking more than he does. So,
all right, guy, who's this guy? Age of Wrestling.
Wrestling. Yep.
Number
one. Signing Edge to AEW was not a great decision because his presence does very little to sell tickets or boost the ratings. 2. Signing Ric Flair to AEW in a multi-year deal doesn't make any sense considering he's almost 75 years old and brings very little value to the product.
And also, pause it, Jay. Alright, so we can talk about these two. Alright. Now, I don't totally agree with what he said about Sundance, that he doesn't bring anything to the ticket sales or ratings. I do believe he does, but I also think they're not using him to his full effectiveness. I'm not sure if it's just maybe because Edge can't go like he used to do, like he used to in 2010, with how his body has aged. But that's what WWE was doing, and like, I didn't mind him being in a storyline with Christian when he first got here, but now it seems like it's going on too long and there's too many people involved with the Adam Copeland story.
Honestly, they need a solid program with Edge.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Adam Copeland. Like, yeah, they need a solid program with him, and personally, I think that, I personally think that, if you're not gonna let him go for the TNT title, he needs to, like, he needs a true rivalry. He needs, like, there's a lot of guys in the back that don't have that spotlight, right? Find a guy that looks at Edge and says, you know what? I could make my ground on this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and I can see something in the vein of Sting, like, having him mentor somebody, because Sting knows he can't go like he used to back in the 80s, 90s. So he's letting Darby Allin carry most of that weight, and he comes in every once in a while to have that showcase match. They're using Sting the way they're supposed to be using Sting. Like, he's there for marketability. He's there. He's not trying to overstay his welcome. He's not trying to overshadow anybody. He's just like, hey, I'm here to help Darby Allin. I'm signed off on this kid as a future star. And we have a match twice a year with each other. So, don't say twice, but it's at least, you can count on your hands how many matches Sting's had this year. And I think if Edge / Adam Copeland is in the same position, like, he can't have a 300 or 200 working day year body, wrestling body, like, he can't do it anymore, then yeah. Find him a star in the back who's not getting any TV time, or like your Action Andretti, or somebody, well, I want to say Jericho Society. Like, I can see him and Sammy Guevara as like a heel version of Sting and Darby Allin. Like, so, like, if he can't be on that next level where he can be a champion, or he can showcase his abilities every day, then yeah, surely let him mentor one of the AEW stars who needs a push, because they're only so high up in the AEW card and they're not getting that push, they're not getting that limelight where they're on TV every week, where
yeah,
you see them, where they're not associated with the brand. Let somebody else come back. Hey, this guy tag teams with Edge now, or Edge comes and helps this guy, and so he must be good.
Yeah, definitely get someone who's there but needs that extra boost.
Right, yeah. Now, that being said, that's the complete... it's the complete opposite of my feelings on Ric Flair. I don't think Ric Flair brings anything to the table.
Yeah, no,
Yep. Yeah, the opinions have soured on him, and he wrestled his last match, and he literally barely lived through that. And now AEW's putting him on multiple-year contracts,
he has an energy drink.
Yeah, now, which is part of that contract, I assume, because it's sponsored.
Sean, when we go... Go to the event on the 23rd. We need to do a review of the Woo Energy Drink.
Yeah, that's even if I'd be surprised they sold it.
Jeez. We could do like a fake ass commercial. Jeez. And just imagine it. I open the can and I drink a little bit, and I go, yeah, I'm like, woo. I just automatically just like, I just don't stop wooing, and you're just like, well, that's woo energy for you.
Yeah.
And that's just the commercial.
Jeez.
Just like a bullshit woo energy commercial. Woo energy gives you unlimited woos.
There you go. But yeah, it's just like,
oh man.
Bam.
Oh, I needed that one.
And then I always get his name wrong, but his son-in-law, Andrade, he doesn't even think, he's been speculated not to be with AEW much longer. So you have a multi-year contract, but a guy who's only ties to AEW now are Sting and his son-in-law.
Andrade el Ídolo.
Yep. So it's like, you sign him to his multi-year contract, and when he has very little... bringing very little other than he's Ric Flair, but his name doesn't carry its weight like it used to, especially since everybody knows how much of a pest he is.
Gotta pay down them debts, man.
Yep, I guess Ric Flair is gonna die of a heart attack at AEW, I guess that's cool with them. Onward on the video.
Also doesn't help that he has a very shady past. 3. Tony Khan chastised Vince McMahon for being a sexual abuser, but then signs Ric Flair, who also has been outed as a sexual abuser, to AEW.
Yep.
This is selective morality. 4. Tony Khan banned Hulk Hogan from AEW due to his racist past, but then allows Sabu to be on AEW TV, even though he has said some very racist things. 5. Allowing Paul White to be a physical threat on AEW doesn't make sense because man can barely move anymore.
All right, your thoughts on Paul White, Big Show Giant Wrestling in 2023?
Why?
Yeah, like, I know he loves it. Like, because wrestling to all of them is kind of like an addiction. That's why Ric Flair is still doing it. They all have... just the attention, but the fanfare and all, doing all of that, and all of it, the showmanship, to being out there in front of the crowds, being a showman, yeah, I love doing that. So I get it, but yeah, it's like when they first brought him and he didn't wrestle in that first year or two, when they first got him to come there, I was like, I knew he wasn't in shape anymore. And granted, he looks like he's in somewhat of a shape, but yeah, his knees are starting to buckle. You can tell that. This is like, I'm glad they didn't use him much in that street fight they had the other week on AEW, because who knows if he had to do us, how if he had to carry some of that match by himself. But yeah, it's just like, just let the man fall. Just enjoy your retirement. Enjoy being able to walk around. Because yeah, he's granted he's not in the same shape as Andre the Giant, but yeah, that giganticism, no large heart, does a number on your body to begin with. You don't need fat, other factors helping you. So he doesn't need to be trying to keep up with 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds in a wrestling ring when he's just trying to live his best life and not die.
Yeah. Let him sit at the commentary table. He's good.
Yeah.
Let him do other shit. He's good.
He's a lot better at commentary than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or, hell, 15. Yeah, just let him. And he's been a nice addition back when Dark was still a thing.
Oh my god, the banter between the commentary people on AEW is just hilarious.
Yeah, because like they usually don't do the emergency mic off button unless they need a cough or anything like that. So you just hear the natural thought process.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah, calling each other out on stuff.
And then Basha Mania has a beautiful fodder just of them just like insipid Taz commentary.
Yeah, because Taz has been doing it since 2005, and ever since then he has days where he just doesn't make any sense.
And sometimes he just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's been one of the running commentaries on, that's been one of the running jokes on Macho Mania almost since its inception. That was Dusty Rhodes, and you know, first it was Dusty Rhodes. He did that because Dusty Rhodes used to have weird commentary, and then when that well kind of ran dry, that's when Taz was at his most Tazzy on SmackDowns. And so yeah, and then it became Taz commentary, and it's been a running joke ever since. And that's been at least since 2007 or 8 or something like that. Well, we'll see. Well, I think Botchmania probably started around, yeah, it had to have been like 8 or 9, 08 or 09, and then first couple of years was Dusty Rhodes, and then, yeah. So let's say 2010, so 13 years of this Taz commentary on Botchamania.
Weighing 248 pounds! Taz! It's Taz!
Yep, and it's always been that Oompa Loompa intro. And then now
the cartoon or the animated little...
Yeah, picture of him, which is getting around. I saw that on Reddit somewhere in a non-wrestling capacity. So I assume whoever that was is a fan of wrestling and has had a picture of the cartoon Taz. But yeah, he's getting around.
All right, let's see what we got here.
He looks like he's permanently doing the stanky leg. 6. Signing Jeff Hardy to AEW was not the greatest move. He has proved to be more of a liability through his DUI arrest, and he doesn't move the needle like how he used to. 7. Yeah. Over-relying on older stars is a common thing in AEW, as there's a constant presence and emphasis on stars.
Yeah.
we got Paul Wright, Jericho, Sting, Edge, Ric Flair, Jeff Jarrett, Billy Gunn, and RVD, all who get multi promos and matches throughout the 3 hour, I guess it's 4 hour programming of AEW week, 2 hours of Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision. Or is Collision 2 hours?
Collision's 2 hours, Dynamite's 2 hours, Rampage is an hour, so
5 hours,
yeah.
So yeah, so all these guys, except for Paul, right? Paul White, get multiple spots or promos over 5 hours.
Yeah.
So programming, and AEW's already got it, and they've inflated roster.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They really need to bring out the younger stars.
Yeah. Like, I would even put Jay Lethal as in there. And even Samoa Joe. Like, granted, Samoa Joe's keeping some of the main event stats alive in AEW. But yeah, it's just like, people have joked that AEW is 2011's Impact TNA Wrestling.
Which. Ooh, shots fired, damn. Oh, damn, bazinga, bazinga, shots fired, bang, 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 bang.
Well, you look at it, you got Jeff Jarrett, Samoa Joe, Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Billy Gunn, RVD, Sting, and Ric Flair. All were Impact Wrestling people before they made up with WWE again. It's like, you look at that picture, the only people who didn't go to Impact Wrestling were Paul, Jericho, and Adam Copeland. And that's 8 people. That's 3 out of 8.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, and fun facts. Mm-hmm. I was watching a random pay-per-view on Peacock Network / Dollar Store WWE Network, and I think it was like a Cyber Monday or something like that, and I was watching it, and I was telling myself, I was like, Tony Khan must have watched this when he got into wrestling, because every match had basically everybody who signed to AEW now.
Yeah.
I think it had Jericho, it had Ric Flair, I think RVD was in there. I think some other WWE guys have been the AEW. It's just like everything he ever wanted from AEW was on the Cyber Monday pay-per-view from like 2011. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, on with the show.
Over 50 years old. 8. Letting CM Punk go was a big mistake, as ratings are now low and AEW is struggling to sell tickets.
CM Punk.
9. AEW is very disorganized, as seen with them not having a ride ready for their biggest star, CM Punk, for All In London, forcing him to find his way to the stadium in a foreign country. 10. Tony Khan is afraid to hand his big stars losses, so he books his big stars conservatively, which is a problem.
Pause, Jay.
11. Tony Khan's...
No, yeah. I do agree with that. It's like... about the booking decisions, about not letting anybody, all the big names have got to win, but that means all the lower guys have got to be booked like jokes, and then all of a sudden we have to take them seriously. Like, I can't tell you, like, I think Brian Cage only had, like, I think I looked it up, like, in 2022, I think he had like 20 some odd matches on TV, and I think he only won like 3 of them or something like that. But yet they pull him out every week and he's supposed to be this big threat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you gotta let him win. Like, hell, the backlash for Jay White not winning against MJF.
Mm-hmm.
That made a lot of people be like, what the hell's going on? Because you have MJF, who's basically a one-legged man during that match, who's already beat up, and you have a fresh Jay White, mm-hmm. who's already a credible threat from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, they have their match, and then Jay White loses. And so it's just like, what was the whole point? Why did you build him up so much just to have him lose? You could have just had the match and just had him lose then and there. And now it's like you built all this storyline up, and then you just couldn't stick the landing. Like, it's okay for the titles to change hands. It's okay for the big stars, the fan favorites, to lose. That's what makes wrestling wrestling.
Because
if everybody was just like, if everybody stopped caring once somebody was a champion, then it would be a lot boring. It'd be a lot more boring sport. Because, like Adam Page, a lot of people talked about the Hangman. Like, his run up to his championship was better than his championship reign. So it's less like, it's okay for people to lose, because then they can have that whole build up and then have that payoff. Yeah, not every championship reign's gonna be spectacular, but if you build up the anticipation and the drive,
mm-hmm.
and the want for people to watch, then yeah, it's like, if that's how you get people to tune in, how you get people to get over. Like, you can give them all the catchphrases, merchandise you want, but yeah, people want to cheer underdogs. It's like, they're cheering for MJF now, but give them a couple more months, then they'll start wanting him to not be champion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of like, they almost ran into that problem with Orange Cassidy. Like, when he was the international champion the first time, like, it was getting to the point where it's just like, all right, you're not going to have, he's not losing anybody. He doesn't have any credible, he's beaten every credible threat.
Uh-huh.
And you're not having an interesting story, like having any of the best friends turn on him or leave him or any of that. So it's just like, they're getting to that point where people are just getting tired of seeing Orange Cassidy. And granted, he was beat up, and truth be told, he should have went home and rested up, but he decided to stay on TV, which is his prerogative. But yeah, they had to get Jon Moxley to make the title scene more exciting. It's just like, that's that corner you don't want to book yourself into. That's kind of where WWE is now with Roman Reigns. It's like, he's lost to LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, and it's like every other big name who's getting all the big pops that could have dethroned Roman Reigns didn't. And so now, who's going to be the one to beat him? Because who do you have left? And that's what AEW runs into sometimes. Who do you have left to beat MJF? Yeah. Just my thought process on that. It's like, you don't want to book yourself into a corner like that, because yeah, it gets hard to get out. It gets hard to get out.
Yeah.
Well, and then, oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I was gonna look at this point right here. Tony Khan Twitter fingers.
Yeah, he's got in trouble with a lot of different tweets.
This week, two active decades-long rating streaks from two great legends were ended. With all due respect, until this week's head-to-head AEW on TBS and WWE on USA, neither John Cena nor The Undertaker have been on a WWE show with under 1 million total viewers, plus under 400,000 in the demo.
I assume he means the key demo of 18 to 35 men.
Probably.
Well, yeah. Which is that key demo everybody wants. But, yeah, and that's one of the calmer tweets. Like, he's tweeted that Big Swole, when she left, and complained that she didn't get a proper push. He basically is like, he pulled the, not the, I don't, wasn't the reverse racism card, but basically the preemptive reverse racism card, if you want to call it that, saying that the reason she didn't get pushed is because, not because of the color of her skin, because we have so many other different minorities here at AEW who are running the board or whatever, but she didn't get pushed because she was a bad wrestler. But it's like he signed her to a 2-year contract. So, like, that just makes you look bad, Tony. So, yeah. And then, yeah. And I guess since we saw it, your thoughts on CM Punk leaving?
I want to. I would like to know exactly what. Like I have, you know, the rumor mill spreadeth what actually happened to cause CM Punk to get fired, but like,
right.
Like I want to know what actually happened to where Tony Khan was like, listen, you gotta go, man. Because you don't want to hear yet another podcast where CM Punk's sister is like, well, they fucking got me in a backstage and they called me and Tony Khan was like, look, Punk, you're acting like a fool and you can't be doing that and it's not professional. And I gotta let you walk, and I don't like that. And then Punk's like, "Well, fuck you! I don't like your company shit. Go back to WWE." And you know, Seth Rollins already doesn't like him. Right. Was it? Another what's the who's the other guy?
Well, McIntyre left as soon as his music hit, basically.
I thought McIntyre had an injury.
Well, it's always rumors, but the rumor was that he left as soon as he left the ring. He threw on his jacket, grabbed his bag, and even. Just drove to his hotel, didn't even get out of his wrestling gear.
Wow. So he was just like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Because I think even though the rumor mills were going and everybody pretty much knew he was going to be, well, nobody knew, but they all thought he was going to be there. I'm sure nobody told the talent that he was going to be there. So it was just a surprise to them as it was to everybody else. And that's probably why we got some of the reactions we got. Because Seth's like, what the hell? And I'm sure Drew McIntyre is just like, this is another he's still trying to keep himself a main event status with something to do. And now all of a sudden CM Punk's here and he's got nothing. Now soon he'll have nothing to do and he'll be back in catering again. And to answer your question, from what I gathered from all the different stories and sources I've heard,
mm-hmm.
is that CM Punk was enacted help with Tony Khan, enacted a bunch of the rules for AEW, like no head chair shots, no bleeding unless there's a reason or you get permission or whatever. And one of them, I think, was no unnecessary like glass spots, like the real glass spot. You just get some fake glass. And so Jack Perry, I think, wanted to do a real glass spot. Punk said, hey, he probably, knowing CM Punk, you probably didn't approach him the right way. Except for, I'm sure, what I'm about to say is 10 times better than how he probably said it. He was just like, hey, Jack, take it from me. It's not worth your risking your body for a stupid glass spot either. So just forget it or just use some fake glass. And they were like, and I think Jack Perry blew him off. I'm not sure what the glass spot said glass what was, but anyways, they went on. Then at All In in London, he had that thing where he pulls the car out, taps on the glass, is like, hey, it's real glass, and then proceeds to get thrown into it. And then, oh yeah, he said, it's real glass, cry me a river. And then after the match, he went backstage. Punk was in the gorilla position and already waiting to go out there for the next match. And so Perry and Punk are face to face. I think Perry says, what's up? You want to do something about it? Or maybe Punk said, hey, I didn't appreciate that. And Perry, anyway, but Jack Perry is like, what's up? You want to do something about it? Trying to punk him out. So Punk shoved his face, kind of pie-faced him. And then I think Jack may have pushed back, may have taken a swing. CM Punk started putting his hands around his throat, choking him. Samoa Joe broke him up. I think Tony Khan was probably was in gorilla position. I think he may have said something to Punk. Punk kind of just went at him and kind of started heading his direction. But I think Samoa Joe cut him off again or somebody else to make him cool down. And then that was, from what I gathered, that was it. Like, it wasn't that big of an incident, but it's what made Tony Khan said, I feared my life. And my Jack Perry got his indefinite suspension. And not fired. And then they had the disciplinary committee, and that, which rumored has it Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson was the was on that committee to let CM Punk go. So yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. So basically, both were in the wrong, but I guess because with Punk's record, with the brawl out scenario, with the brawl out history,
mm-hmm.
they were just like, oh, and with him trying to, now, I wouldn't even say weeping, I'm not even sure what actually happened, we'll find out one day, but him heading towards the direction of Tony Khan with the intent to fight him, made Tony Khan just cut his contract. And that's how we got here today. So, people will say Jack Perry was the instigator. He should have been the one that got punished the worst. But which I also see, but I also see Punk. Punk's a 40-year-old man. He's been wrestling for 20 years.
Like, he should know better.
Yeah. If he wants to be a locker room leader like he was trying to be at AEW, then he needs to practice what he preaches. He can't bite everybody who gets in his face about something. And he can just, cooler heads have to prevail there. So yeah, he should have known better, and Barry should have, well, kept his mouth shut. Well, onward and upwards.
Here we go.
Rants on Twitter are quite honestly embarrassing, and he seems more like a petulant child crying on the internet because he doesn't get his way. 12. Fellow YouTuber and AEW fan Tranquilo Club revealed that Tony Khan reached out to him to get booking advice. This is the problem with Tony Khan. 13. Tony Khan's huge announcements are getting out of hand. Some of the stuff that he announces can just be tweeted out. 14. Tony Khan can't get a hold of his talent. This is seen with the many backstage fights in AEW.
Yeah, we just talked 15. About all this.
Tony Khan is too nice and wants to be one of the boys so bad. This results in people taking advantage of him. 16. Yeah. AEW lied about the All-In Wembley attendance. They said that their attendance was over 80,000, while the English government said that their attendance was around 72,000. Very WWE move.
Yeah.
17. Three shows is way too many shows. Everything besides Dynamite three shows doesn't feel like necessary.
I think they need to spread them out a little bit more. Because you got Rampage and Collision are right next to each other. Not to say they need a Monday show, but they probably could get away with doing Dynamite on a Tuesday and Rampage on a Thursday and doing Collision on a Saturday.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they would have no competition still. They did Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and it would spread it out. Because it's right now, it's like Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It's all back to back to back. And then you get a Sunday pay-per-view. It's like, it's a lot of AEW in a little time and space.
Yeah. That I can see. I see your point.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for me. I'm Jay Jones.
I'm the Pixel Guy, Sean.
Now, we will have more in this episode, in our next episode.
And I hope you learned a lot about things on this one.
But if you didn't, it's okay. There's more to come. You'll learn something.
You'll learn something new every day.
That's right. Because we are
the Pixel Guys.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah.